we're going to pass this mic around when you introduce yourselves. You won't hear yourself louder because it's going for the live stream. And I guess which I omitted yesterday, and I apologize, I should orally ask if we have permission to live stream this. If anybody does not want to be on the live stream, please let me know now. I was like thinking, what do I do if? welcome, everybody, and I'm going to get Reta to do a welcome in Finnish to our Finnish community members. This is a knowledge sharing event, and this one is focused on bridging between communities and institutions. So there are a lot of people here who are not academics at all, but they do amazing work daily. There are at least 20 different organizations, NGOs, and who do great work, literacy, youth, migration, senior citizens, preschool, and we want to offer them a chance to tell their stories, to provide evidence that there's some amazing things happening. So if you
can do that. Tervetuloa vaan kaikki. Tämä on Knowledge Sharing Eventin toinen päivä, ja tämä aamusession tarkoituksena olisi yhdistää tutkijoita, päättäjiä ja yhteisön jäseniä. Ja täällä on paljon ei-tutkijoita paikalla, jotka tekee ihan mahtavaa työtä yhteisön parissa ja yrittää parantaa elämänlaatua ihmisillä. Ja olisi mahtavaa, jos voisitte jakaa tietoanne ja antaa ideoita, että miten voitaisiin paremmin yhdistää justiinsa tutkimusta ja miten saataisiin tämä hieno työ ihan korkeammallekin tasolle. Kiitoksia, että olette tulleet tänne, ja toivottavasti tulee hedelmällisiä keskusteluja.
We'd like to pass it around to the community members to see if they would. So you.
Okay, hello everybody. I will start in English and then change into Finnish. Very briefly, both. So my name is Taina Tammelinlainen, and I come from the University of Jyväskylä at Center for Applied Language Studies. And here is my colleague Minna Bogdanov. So we work in the same project at the moment, and the project is called "Getting a Grip on Basic Skills: Pedagogical Design for Teachers and Advisors in Migrant Education." And if you want to take a flyer, we have this both in English and in Finnish there on the table. So our focus is to give in-service teacher training to those teachers who work with adult migrants with low basic skills. And by basic skills we mean reading and writing, numeracy, ICT skills, and study skills. And we have teachers from all over the country in our piloting project, and the goal is to get some kind of national model how to train the teachers who work with these immigrants in this country, and spread it into teacher education and so on when the project is over. And we are about in the middle of the project now, so we still have 1.5 years left. And it's European Social Fund funded. And what else? Yeah, if you need more information, please take the flyer there on the table. And in Finnish. Elikkä minä, Taina Tammelinlainen, ja kollegani Minna Bogdanov olemme siis soveltavan kielen tutkimuksen keskuksesta tästä yliopistosta, ja työskentelemme perustaidot haltuun mallin maahanmuuttajien opetus- ja ohjaushenkilöstön koulutukseen. Tämä on niin pitkä nimi, että mä aina unohtaisin molemmilla kielillä. Ja projektin tarkoitus on siis tarjota täydennyskoulutusta sellaisille opettajille ja muullekin opetus- ja ohjaushenkilöstölle, jotka työskentelee sellaisten maahanmuuttajien parissa, aikuisten maahanmuuttajien parissa, joilla on heikot perustaidot tai jonkunnäköisiä puutteita luku- ja kirjoitustaidossa, numeerisissa taidoissa, opiskelutaidoissa ja tietoteknisissä ongelmanratkaisutaidoissa. Ja ollaan ESR-rahoitteinen hanke, ja noin Finlandissa. Ja niin meidän osallistujissa on tosiaan opettajia ihan ympäri Suomea, Oulusta Helsinkiin ja Kuopiosta Vaasaan. Oliko se suunnilleen sama suomessa kuin englanniksi? Okei. Ja jos haluatte vielä tiivistelmän, niin toisella puolella englanniksi ja toisella suomeksi löytyy tuolta pöydältä. Kiitos.
This is Selwyn for I worked with her a lot. She is in Kentucky in the neighborhood as the community senator at Midas, and she does some incredible work. It's essentially volunteer, I believe. So I will let you speak, and we will translate also what she says.
So hello everybody. She's the vice chairperson of Keltimäkeiras, which is the tenant associations for Keltimäki, the area in Jyväskylä. At the moment, it's one of the biggest areas in Jyväskylä. The association has been running for 42 years, I believe.
Mä olen myöskin, kun täällä sanottiin, että tutkijoiden ja päättäjien yhteyksiä tähän tutkimukseen, vaikka tutkimuksen kehittämiseen pitäisi täällä yhdistää, niin mä olen myöskin päättäjä. Mä olen kaupunginhallituksen jäsen. Eilen juuri tehtiin kaupunginhallituksessa talousarviot ensi vuodelle. Mä olen myöskin kirkkovaltuutettu ja tulin myöskin uudelleenvalituksen näissä vaaleissa. Mutta siinä roolissa tässä kolmannen sektorin toimijana mä olen vapaaehtoinen hyvin paljon siellä meidän kylätasolla. Ja koen, että se on äärettömän tärkeää työtä asukkaiden hyvinvoinnin eteen, johon kuntaa kivelivoittaa kuntaa pitämään asukkaiden hyvinvoinnista huolta.
Tulik is also a policymaker. She's in the city council and also got re-elected to the church council. As a Keltimäkeiras representative, so she's a volunteer and thinks that tenant council member, as a volunteer, it's extremely important, even as important as policy making, because it's one of the municipality obligations to I'm losing English now.
Sorry, if you want
to
help.
take care of the well-being of the tenants.
Tämä Keltimäkeiras on meidän asuinalueen entinen koulu. Esimerkiksi minun tyttäreni, joka on jo 52 vuotta kohta vanha, niin minä itse olen 73, niin hän on aloittanut koulun siinä. Eli se on meidän asuinalueen historiaa. Sen takia me asukasyhdistyksellä olemme yrittäneet yksin hampain pitää kiinni siitä, että se vanha, huonokuntoinen, pieni talo säilyy siellä kerrostalojen keskellä, ja me voimme tehdä siitä.
So the house for the Keltimäkeiras Tenant Association is the old school of the area, which was built in 1976. And her daughter, who is 52 years old, went to school in that same building. And now the association is trying to fight for the school, for the pit, which is now the village house, even though it's old and not in that great shape. But it has a lot of meaning for the community.
Minulla on mukana täällä esittää teille, tuossa pöydällä on tällaisia lehtiä, Kukkulan kaipu, joka on meidän asuinalueen kolmen eri asukasyhdistyksen yhdessä tekemä, siis vapaaehtoisvoimin yhdessä tekemä asukaslehti. Teemme tämän 3 kertaa vuodessa, ja kannattaa ottaa, siinä kerrotaan näiden kolmen yhdistyksen töistä sillä meidän alueella, ja me tehdään siis vapaaehtoisesti ja jaamme vapaaehtoisesti kaikille niille, joiden huville pääsee.
Tämä in the side table over there is the area newspaper, which is run by volunteers as well, and is run by three area associations or journal associations in that area. And there's information on the area and the activities and what the associations have done recently. So please take it with you if you want to go home. Unfortunately, it's in Finnish.
One thing they did do when I was there, allow me to utilize the facilities. But one thing that I noticed, they had seniors. They had this interactive program where the seniors came and spoke with young kids who are working in vocational schools, social work, and they're doing their training, and they were playing games with them and all sorts of stuff with them and spending time. So it's quite a wide range of programs that they have there, and it's quite nice. So we'll pass to the law, or does she want to speak?
There's lunch every day, and the lunch system is run by both the immigrants and unemployed people who are in work practice in a way. There are also language teaching and learning in the village house. And the last thing that she said is that Keldimet is an excellent place to live in because it's a beautiful, calm, and the people are excellent.
I agree.
Joo, se on tärkeää sanoa vielä, että me ollaan, siis sen lisäksi, että me tehdään siellä ruokaa ja harrastetaan erilaisia vertaistukiryhmiä, siellä on monenlaisia järjestöjä meidän lisäksi meidän talossa toiminnassa. Me myöskin vuokrataan tiloja perheenjuhliin ja pidetään siellä myöskin esimerkiksi joulujuhlat ja erilaisia jopa tansseja. Meillä on ollut siellä 7 hengen orkesterikin soittamassa ja näin päin pois. Mutta mikä on hirveän tärkeää, niin meillä on ollut 7 vuotta taidennäyttelyn toimintaa siellä Ylätalon ruokalan seinällä. Ja tällä hetkellä esimerkiksi siis joka kuukausi uusi taiteilija. Meidän kaukaisin taiteilija asuu lähellä Maakaa Espanjassa, mutta hän viettää kesänsä Keltimäessä. Ja tällä hetkellä meidän seinillä on 36-vuotiaan lapsen, eli päiväkodin eskarilasten näyttely. Erinomaista, upea, joka käymään Sienikenpäässä, Keltimäessä, Keltimäen kielessä.
Yeah, there are many different kinds of events in the village house, and it's you can rent it for different associations, not just the village associations, but if you have to have a meeting or a party or an event there, you can rent that space for it. But the last thing that Pulikki said was that there is an ongoing art gallery in the village house, and different exhibitions. It's changing every month, and at the moment there are 36 artworks by 6-year-olds,
so cute.
Preschoolers. But there are many different kind of artists. She mentioned artist who lives in Malaga, Spain, for most of the time, but spends summers in Keldimäki. So a different kind of a variety of different things. So please visit the place. It's in Keldimäki at the end of Sienitie.
Vielä yksi asia, minkä haluan sanoa, vaan voisin vuodesta näitä tapauksessa jatketaan mulla ohjelmaa, mutta tämä espanjalainen taiteilija on Aurelio Moreno Perez. Voitte katsoa netistä, miten upea taiteilija meillä naapurissa asuu kesäisin. Mutta se, minkä haluaisin sanoa vielä, me olemme tehneet myöskin 18 vuotta kulttuurimatkan joka heinäkuun ensimmäisenä viikonloppuna.
Ja se kulttuurimatka on erittäin kiva tapa. Noin 50 ihmistä saa kulttuurikokemuksia yhdessä. Sitä voidaan sitten vuosi yhdessä muistella. Viime vuonna oltiin Joensuussa ja nyt mennään Helsinkiin. Meillä on myöskin sellainen erikoinen tapa siinä ohjelmassa, että me emme kerro kaikkia matkalaisille, mitä tapahtuu. Esimerkiksi viime vuonna yllätimme matkalaiset sillä tavalla, että kun menimme Joensuussa Lounaalle, Joensuun teatterinavetunaan, niin pyysin, että jättäkään tuotu oli tyhjäksi. Ja sitten ympärillä oli, että ihmetteli miksi. Ja sitten kyllä se kohta selviää, niin Erkki Valkea ja Markku Pöyrönen tuli syömään meidän kanssa. Tämmöisiä yllätyksiä järjestämme.
So the association also organizes a trip every year. There's room about 50 people. And last year they were in Joensuu, in eastern Finland. And this year they're going to Helsinki, the capital. And the fun thing about the trips is that the organizers don't always tell you everything about the trip. For example, last year when they were in Joensuu, there were this theater cafe. And Tuli told people to leave one seat empty. And at one point of the during the dinner or lunch, the famous movie director Markku Pöyrönen came and had a seat next to the tenants. So yeah, there's a column about it in the paper. So yeah, all fun things. Thank you so much.
Together More, Immigrants as Part of Society. And our two-year project is now nearing its end at the end of this year. We are funded by the European Social Fund and partly STEAS funding, and the City of Jyväskylä and the City of Viitasaari have part funding also. Our main points in the objectives of the project have been to improve relations between people of different backgrounds in particular neighborhoods of Jyväskylä, but also of the participating municipalities nearby. So creating sort of easy to attend, low threshold events and activities for neighbors to get to know each other. We believe that getting to know someone personally is a very important part of integrating into society, both from the integrators and the welcoming society's perspective. We cannot open doors without knowing personal contacts. So along with these low threshold, easy to attend events, we have information services, sort of advising services in the neighborhoods, trying out different day centers, and I've spoken about this in Finnish at last. Switch to English. So at libraries and the health centers in the different neighborhoods, trying to bring information about immigration, about integration, about the area. Our advising services motto is ask anything you need, just ask anything. So bringing information to the people who need it, both new in the neighborhood and those who work trying to bring new people into the neighborhood and into our societies. But we've been able to organize in collaboration with Building Bridges Project, and just last month, or the beginning of this month, we got to see the wonderful exhibit that is at GATA. So we work very closely with different neighborhood associations and trying to find on the ground people to come up with what we want to do together, to bring people together, and with the perspective of making sure that all the marketing and advertising happens multilingually or in easy Finnish enough that people know they are welcome. Everybody can come.
Yeah. And I just want to interject as well for those who are not in Pakistan. We worked together. I met her 2 months ago, and to my frustration, discovered that her funding stopped, so she can't continue. And you're like, but this country really cool stuff. So that's the reality in Finland, that this funding is short term, it's not sustainable, and there's so many different wonderful organizations, and the policymakers do not know about all of them. They only know individual slices of the work, but they don't see the big pie. So this is one of my rationales for bringing everybody together, because I want, because of filminess, we're going to be able to prove to policymakers and to politicians, etc., make the decisions that there are some amazing people doing amazing work that if we could continue in a sustainable fashion and if we were able to network better, it would be more impactful for the community and for the
community. I unfortunately came a little late, so I'm not actually even sure what all I'm supposed to say here, but we're going to discuss, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So look forward to discussing.
I would like to speak in Finnish.
Of course.
Meillä on kaikki kirsisuokas ja edustan täällä Unicefin vapaaehtoisryhmää. Jos tänään ihmettelette mies, että mitä varten tänään liputetaan, niin tänään on kansainvälinen lastenpäivä.
Her name is Gilles Workers, and she's a representative of the voluntary group of UNICEF. And if you're wondering why there's a flag on the poles today, it's the International Children's Day today.
Joo, tämä meidän vapaaehtoisryhmä on toiminut täällä Jyväskylässä nyt 32 vuotta, ja siinä on tällä hetkellä noin 15 aktiivista jäsentä. Mutta saamme kyllä vähän suuremmankin joukon kokoon erilaisiin tapahtumiin, joita täällä järjestetään.
So the volunteer group of UNICEF has been working in Jyväskylä for how many years was it? 32 years. But there are 15 active members in the volunteer group. But in different kind of events, there are more people as well.
Tämän ryhmän tarkoituksena on tehdä tunnetuksi UNICEFin työtä maailmalla. Ja toinen tärkeä tehtävä on kerätä varoja UNICEFin toimintaan, koska UNICEF toimii puhtaasti lahjoitusvaroilla.
So the idea of the volunteer group is to make UNICEF activities known and collect funds for UNICEF, because the UNICEF association and organization and the work that they do is based on funding, individual funding.
Ja meidän toiminta on aikaisemmin perustunut sellaiseen UNICEF-kioskiin, joka meillä oli tuossa kirjaston ala-aulassa, mutta sen toiminta on nyt loppunut, koska UNICEFin toiminnassa, siis kansainvälisen UNICEFin toiminnassa, on tapahtunut sellaisia muutoksia, että sellaista tuotemyyntiä kuin aikaisemmin oli, niin ei enää siinä muodossa ole. Ja nyt me olemme sitten niin kuin ryhmänä uuden edessä, kuinka toimia, koska tällainen keskeinen toimintamuoto on hävinnyt.
So the UNICEF used to have this UNICEF kiosk, which sold different items, and the funds went to UNICEF organization and their activities, but because of the international changes in the UNICEF organization, this is not possible anymore, so we are facing new issues and new challenges because of that.
Tässä tilanteessa tietysti kaikenlainen yhteistyö eri organisaatioiden välillä täällä paikallisesti muodostuu erittäin tärkeäksi, koska aikaisemmin meidät on aina tavoittanut siitä kioskista silloin, kun on tullut tarvetta saada yhteyttä UNICEFiin, mutta nyt kun sitä ei ole, niin joudutaan etsimään uusia tapoja. Ja tietysti sitten toinen asia, mikä tähän vaikuttaa, on sen, että yhteiskunta on tietysti muuttunut ympärillä ja on kaikenlaisia uusia välineitä. Täälläkin on tietokoneita, pöydät täynnä. Itse olen ehkä nuoremmasta päästä tästä meidän ryhmästä, niin tällaiset uudet välineet ei niin kuin suoraan tuo apua niin kuin tähän uuteen tilanteeseen meidän ryhmässä.
And because there is no traditional way of communicating, because they used to have the kiosk, but now they have to emphasize the importance of collaboration. But because they used to be reaching the kiosk, now they have to rely on different kind of things. And even though it's very easy, this day of modern technology, we have to remember that most of the volunteers are not used to it, because the volunteers are not the youngest people. They are looking for new ways of collaboration and new stakeholder collaboration.
Vielä tästä yhteistyöstä UNICEFin ja yhteisöjen välillä on se, että UNICEFillahan on Suomessa tällainen lapsiystävällinen kunta konsepti, ja viime vuonna Jyväskylä tuli valituksi tällaiseksi lapsiystävälliseksi kunnaksi, ja meillä on myös täällä tällaisia UNICEF-kouluja, mutta ne ovat sellaisia niin, että ne yleensä tulee tämän Suomen UNICEFin kautta järjestyy tällaiset näin, me ollaan sitten tällaisia pieniä puhakkaita tätä ja sitten täällä vapaaehtoiskentällä, jotka toimitaan.
There is also a UNICEF campaign in Finland called Child Friendly Municipality. I hate that word. It's a horrible word. I can't pronounce it.
Child Friendly or Municipality?
Municipality.
Oh, okay.
Well, last year, Jyväskylä got elected as the most child-friendly municipality. And UNICEF also has a thing called UNICEF Schools, which is organized by the national level, if I understood correctly. But each volunteer group in each city have their own volunteers who are very enthusiastic little ones, as you said.
Little presentation, so.
He's got visual pictures.
Yeah.
Oh.
Visual pictures. I like visual pictures. My favorite.
But you're a rapper. That should be Yanni's thing.
Time out.
Okay.
Breathe for a moment.
So, Ossie, you're telling everyone all the points.
I will point at you.
I actually started breathing.
If I do a little fuck up, I will point at you. Okay, hi, my name is Ossi Valpion. I'm the director of the cross-cultural association called TUF. And if you think, what is TUF? It's basically the sound of everything. If I drop this, then I tell a history about TUF. This is me, some 20 years ago. I have a history that I had a dream to become a school teacher or a youth worker. And when I was 16, I couldn't work that much on my own schooling, so I had a problem. So hip-hop was one of my saviors. And I was first, mainstream rappers in Jyväskylä some 20 years ago. But unfortunately, I got diagnosed for cancer when I was 16, so I couldn't live up to my dreams with going to university and do whatever I wanted to do then. So I have a long history of difficulties in my life, and this relates fully to the organization I'm working in now. So my history was 7 years of painkillers and living in a wheelchair and thinking that can I walk again anymore? I have a hip transplant in both of my hips. And hip-hop has been mainly my savior, and I say because I've been channeling my feelings and my diary and my life through music and writing and trying to connect with kids who have the same difficulties. So I've been trying to be always really honest with my work and trying to help others through my music and through my art. So let's fast forward in time because we have a lot to do. I'm one of the founders of this cross-cultural platform, project platform, an association called TUF. We founded in September of 2013, and we basically give kids and youth a platform to do projects. And we've been doing a lot of projects in music. We've been holding up clubs where kids can come and start playing vinyl music or start rapping or do graffiti or whatever. And we've been mainly working on the street culture and hip-hop, but of course other stuff. And of course, because we're in the university city, there's been some students who have been working on articles as a school projects and been filming our stuff and other. So we've been wanting to document the history of Jyväskylä culture in hip-hop and other stuff, because there's a lot of stones that have been not turned yet. So we've been wanting to dig in and see what's been so great in this town that has been raising up so many people, so world famous in breakdancing, graffiti, and of course we're self-proclaimed hip-hop capital of Finland, so that's a big thing. So we have, this is all old news, so I'd say some 40 members in our association, and a lot of projects, and here we have few. We've been organizing this payback jam for now 13 years. This is 2-year-old poster. Janne has made this, now I point at you. Almost bald guy. You didn't came here, Mike is on my hand. So we've been doing this, and there's been a lot of people from all around Europe and all around the world DJing and doing stuff. So it's mainly focus has been on four elements of hip-hop: MCing, DJing, graffiti, and breakdancing. And this was held first time 13 years ago because there hasn't been, there was not the jam that was supposed to be. There was a lot of people, but the kids 13 years ago thought that, hey, there's a youth house, we can organize a jam. So we've been building up on that one. And next summer we will have people all around the world doing stuff with us. And of course we're doing a lot of other collaborations on top of that. That is just a party. This is the one project I'm really, really happy about that we made. This is called JKL One-on-One. This is a hip-hop album that we produced 3 years ago and released 3 years ago. There's also in the booklet, in the gatefold, you know, when you can open the vinyl, there's a lot of, by a local graffiti legend who was creating these graffiti pieces in the gatefold, in the middle page. So I'm not sure if Janne is there. I'm not sure. And I was the head of the project. And this is some nice stuff also. Oh, okay. We had 13 rappers and producers in this. That was the statistics. Don't forget the statistics, OC. Talking with science members. And this is another nice project that we did a few years ago. But this has been crowdfunded by mecenaatti.me. And this is a typical project of TUF. There was a meeting, and some guy asked that, I'd like to make a documentary project about the punk culture and history of punk in Jyväskylä. Who's with me? And there's four photographers who haven't been making video ever. And the guy who had this idea said that I can be the director. And he hasn't done a thing before that. And after 2 years, he's working now in the field of movies. So he didn't have experience at all, and now he's fully into movies, and he doesn't work with us anymore.
Too big for that.
Yeah, nice. But we, through that crowdfund, we had 4,220 euros from the 177 mecenates. And of course, we like this project. Also, we've been funded by the Ministry of Culture and Education, and the cultural fund of Finland. So we have, and of course, we've been holding clubs and other events where we got the money for this. And this was a nice project. 8 members of our organization and association were working on this. This is something extra special, because I only have extra special for you. And this is this is really the first hip-hop library in Europe. And the idea came from the kids of our organization. And this is founded 2014, almost 4 years ago. And this is in youth house of Petulitali, the Choo Choo House. You know the place? Petulitali, it's a nice place.
That's where we're having a wrap-up.
And we got funding for this, and the people have been giving books and diplomas and movies and books and vinyls and CDs that are really, really important for the cultural heritage of hip-hop in Finland, but mostly the local heritage. So this has been a nice venue for us to hold different type of events, and mainly now we've been having every week afternoon clubs in the youth house for the kids to teach themselves and others in groups in rapping, MCing, DJing, beat making, and graffiti. So if you see graffiti in all around the city, it's been with Janne. The kids have been working with Janne. There's a lot of kids been working with Janne, and I've been working with kids in the field of rap. And we're not only trying to educate kids that how can you do something on yourselves, we want to build more communities inside of communities, like small tribes, and the kids to become really sure about themselves, that they really have some tools in life that they can use. So of course, when you're working on street culture and hip-hop, it affects and resonates a lot in the type of kids that are dropped out of school sometimes, or feel that they don't get to be that active in the school environment. So we give them the same type of tools in a ways of expressing yourself, but still they have the feeling that, okay, I've had these tools and I have this enthusiasm in me, but now I can portray it as I really love. So if there's people who have been really into rap music, but they don't want to rap, we can give them the turntables and say, please play the music, please read about the music, please draw about the music, and talk about the music, and connect with the people who are working with the music. So this non-hierarchical platform of hip-hop is really working, because we don't need to do the work, because the work is in the people, if you know what I'm saying.
And an example is, we're working on a project together, a rap project.
Yeah.
Started as a rap project. We have one person's dancing.
Yeah.
Another of the girls doing she's doing the anime backdrop.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have movie making as well. They're helping with the sound, background sound to the movies that we're going to present. And Janne is, in collaboration with the youth, discuss what the themes of their songs are, and he's painting graffiti, and he's going to make a movie of the of his process making the movie as a backdrop for their singing. So it's become from rapping to a whole multimodal kind of.
Yes, and now we're looking for further collaborations, because we know the impact. We empirical studies say that this is really working, because we have people directing movies without any schooling about it, going to work in the field of movies. And that's why your CV is saying that you're doing some stuff that really has impact. People are not asking that, do you have papers to do this? They ask, do you have tools to do this? So my history said that I don't have the tools and papers, so I need to start working and building up experience and my CV with the people. So of course, now that I have some tools and stuff in my CV, I want to further produce stuff that is impacting people and have proof and evidence with the science field that this is really working, because hip-hop is spreading still all around the world because of this non-hierarchical stuff that even the smallest kids can start teaching people. And I'm pretty sure you know that the one thing that pops up in the studies that if you think that how can you learn fastest is to start teaching immediately. So the each one teach one mantra that's built into hip hop is the reason why these kids really build up self-esteem and the feel and the sense of importance in themselves really early. So this is what we want to study with Neti and other people, of course. And every summer now we have this. 2017 we had the first top summer hip-hop camp. We did it with migrants, and then we did it with immigrants, and then we did it with the local kids, and some kids from Kuopio got here also. And we had people from Sweden, Norway, and Slovenia. And we're having this affiliation with Slovenia and Sweden and Norway now that we're building up more through Erasmus funding and other stuff. So we're going to go there and exchange our tools and our approaches. Huh? Methods. Methods of madness. And now I say thank you. We're doing great stuff, and I really love to be here with you today. And about the future of culture and longevity in Finland needs to have more scientific proof and evidence. And we're here to start building up the movement more and more powerful. And I thank Neri and Red and other good people of this room to really work on it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And Janne also here. He is our digital media artist, but he's shy about talking. So
hello. I'm from a non-governmental organization called Paremmin Yhdessä, which means better together. And this is an organization that's been working for about 8 years, almost actually, no, 10 years. But recently we were able to get funding for the organization. So the first 8 years, this organization's been working solely on volunteer efforts. And we have two projects. We call them in Finnish hankkeet. So the other one is for immigrant participation in Finnish society. And the other one is for, oh my goodness, I'm trying to think in Finnish and English at the same time. Employment and like career path advancement. So quickly in Finnish, paremmin yhdessä on. Okay, this is trickier than is siis paremmin yhdessä on järjestö. Joo, 10 vuotta toiminut järjestö, joka on enimmäkseen ollut vapaaehtoisvoimin pyörivää, ja hiljattain tuli rahoitusta 2 hankkeelle. Toinen on Osana-hanke, joka keskittyy enemmän maahanmuuttajien työllistymiseen, vaan maahanmuuttajien osallisuuteen omassa uudessa kotimaassaan tai ympäristössä. Ja toinen on sitten maahanmuuttajien urapolun tai koulutuksen tai työllistymiseen keskittyvä hanke. On top of this, one of the basic basic projects that we've had is a what we call a homework club, läksykerho. But it's not really a homework club for children. It's a homework club for students and young adults and immigrants who are practicing either practicing Finnish or they have they're doing their like high school studies as young adults here in Finland, and they need help in, for example, essay writing or mathematical help or just like help in learning Finnish or practicing Finnish. And this is one of the most successful projects that Better Together has been able to do. It's been going on for 8 years now, and every week, 3 times a week for 2 hours, we have participants come. We do it in collaboration with Gloria. So the students come to this multicultural center, Gloria, And there we have volunteers from different Finnish backgrounds come to help students who need help in, you know, whatever varying subjects they are.
Eli paremmin yhdessä ry:n tärkeimpiä toimintoja on varmaan siis tämä avaimet oppimisen läksykerho, joka on pyörinyt 8 vuotta. Ja joka viikko, 3 viikossa me tavataan 2 tunnin ajan monikulttuurikeskus Glorian tiloissa. Ja se pyörii vapaaehtoisin voimin. Eli suomalaiset vapaaehtoiset tulevat sinne auttamaan maahanmuuttajia, nuoria opiskelijoita. Yleensä yläaste, lukio, ammatti tai yliopisto-opiskelijoita. Aiheet vaihtelee tosi laajasti, että voi olla lääkelaskentaa esimerkiksi, jos lähihoitajaksi opiskelee, tai sitten voi olla vaikka esseen kirjoittamista, tai pari viikkoa sitten tein telematiikkaa yhden opiskelijan kanssa.
I was just saying that that the subjects vary in this homework club quite widely. So we have students who are learning to become nurses, and they'll have like medicine counting. So how many milligrams of what medicine do you give to the patient, etc., etc. And a few weeks ago, I was helping a student do telemathics. I guess that's the it's got to do with all this like Wi-Fi stuff, and you know, I was like, whoa. Anyway, we look to really collaborate with as many people as we possibly can. Paremmin yhdessä is really a very open organization that looks to affect change not only in towards the grassroots level but also to the institutional level. And one of the more important projects that we hope goes forward is this kumppanuspöytä, which is a coordinating element for on this like NGO level for all things multicultural and international here on the municipal level. Oh, I do not know how I'm going to say all this in Finnish.
Eli joo, siis paremmin yhdessä on tämmöinen hyvin avoin järjestö, joka haluaa tehdä yhteistyötä mahdollisimman monipuolisesti ja laajasti, ja tekee erityisesti paljon töitä mun mielestä sekä ruohonjuuritasolle että institutionaaliselle tasolle. Ja yksi projekti, jota me toivotaan, että menee eteenpäin, on tämä kumppanuspöytä, joka oli toimisi tällaisena koordinoivana monikulttuuristen ja kansainvälisten asioiden parissa tällaisella niin kuin järjestökentällä päättäjiin ja järjestöjen ja osallistujien kaikkien niin kuin parissa. Sorry, this was long and a little bit sekava. I'm done.
Hello everybody, my name is Anni Viinikainen and I come here with my colleague Gloria from the NGO called Multicultural Center Gloria. We have been existing, our center has been existing in Jyväskylä now for 10 years. We started as a project in 2008 and after the project we have been happy to have more permanent funding so far. And what we do, we had here one good example what is happening in our center. So mainly we organize events and give facilities to local individual communities, NGOs to come as and do what they want in our center. So our heart and soul of our organization is our volunteers. So our work is mainly based on our wonderful volunteers, which we have last year more than 350 working in our center. We have so much going on. Just to highlight something, we have, for example, we have a weekly program, which we have examples there on the table. So we have activities each day of the week. We have a lot of study groups, for example, Finnish study group, English, Persian. It varies in a year. We do also a youth work, group work and individual work. For example, now we had just started a new youth activity conversation group called Blah Blah Blah. I think it's a good name for a conversation, yeah. The young people invented that. And then we have a lot of events in a year. Our biggest event each year is a Multicultural Independence Day event, which is held on 5th December. Here's advertisement also. It's this year in Lutakko. You are all very welcome. And then as a new event this year, we are organizing on 12th on December with the City of Jyväskylä event called Welcome to Jyväskylä, where everybody who have moved recently or more longer time ago in Jyväskylä, and there are a lot of information and some cultural program about the services in Jyväskylä, for example. And one big part of our work is also information services. We have an office called InfoGloria, which we give guidance and counseling in 10 different languages. And we have also a timetable for that. We have each day of the week, we have a different language service. We have, for example, Russian, Kinyarwanda, Thai. You can also see more information here if you are interested. And it's all free, and you don't have to make an appointment. Just come by and ask what you want, same as Sarah told before. We have done a cooperation with them also. What else? Also, peer group activities is one what we do a lot with cooperation and a lot of cooperation. Many, oppilaitokset, schools visits us. We have almost each week different groups visiting us where we do tell about our work. We have a lot of trainees. We have each year more than I think 40 or 50 trainees, yeah, coming from different schools and international students, yes. And yeah, that's maybe I shortly tell in Finnish too. Or yeah. Eli me tullaan mun kollegan Glorian kanssa monikulttuurikeskus Gloriasta. Ja meidän keskus on ollut täällä Jyväskylässä nyt 10 vuotta, aloitettiin ensin projektina ja nyt on saatu pysyvämpi rahoitus sitten meidän toiminnalle. Ja tämän toiminnan perustana on vahvasti vapaaehtoiset. Meillä on yli 300 vapaaehtoista, oli muun muassa viime vuonna tässä toiminnassa mukana toteuttamassa toimintaa. Ja kaiken perustana on se, että me tarjotaan tilat toiminnalle, ihmiset tulee ja toteuttaa sen sisällön. Ja pääasiassa vapaaehtoiset vetää meidän toimintaa. Meillä on paljon erilaisia opiskeluryhmiä. Suomen kieli on yksi iso, mutta sitten on myös tällä hetkellä englannin opiskeluryhmää, persian opiskeluryhmää. Ja myös nuorisotyö on iso osa meidän toimintaa. Nyt oli juuri alkoi uutena toimintana nuorten keskusteluryhmä, jonka nimi oli tämä bla bla bla. Ja sitten on paljon tapahtumia. Isoin tapahtuma vuosittain on itsenäisyyspäivän juhla, joka on 5.12. aina pyritty pitämään samana päivänä. Ja nyt uutena tapahtumana vielä loppuvuodelle on tulossa tämmöinen tervetuloa Jyväskylään tapahtuma uusille jyväskyläläisille yhteistyössä Jyväskylän kaupungin kanssa, missä on paljon tietoa Jyväskylän kaupungin eri palveluista ja vähän kulttuuriohjelmaa ja näin poispäin. Joo, eli yksi meidän tärkeimmistä toiminnoista, Gloria muistuttaa vielä, että kerron, eli ABC, meidän suomen kielen toiminta, joka on 3 kertaa viikossa ja vapaaehtoisten vetämänä toimii. Eli täysin avoin tämmöinen non-stop Suomen ryhmä, ei tarvitse ilmoittautua. Me aina sanotaan, me ei olla koulu eikä kurssi, vaan semmoinen avoin oppimisen paikka. Monet ihmiset, meillä käy paljon ihmisiä, jotka on ehkä erilaisissa välivaiheissa, on käyty viralliset kotoutumiskoulutuskurssit tai odotetaan kurssille pääsyä tai ollaan lasten kanssa kotona. Meidän ryhmiin voi tulla myös lasten kanssa, me pyritään lastenhoito järjestämään. Ja voi tulla kerran viikossa tai 3 kertaa viikossa. Ja se on semmoinen, ja joka päivä, joka viikko ja joka päivä erilainen se meidän ryhmätoiminta siellä. Joo, haluaako Gloria vielä lisätä jotain? Joo.
Minä olen, I am Gloria Lapitan, if you notice, the multicultural center Gloria is named Gloria. So we when we started 2008, we 2009 actually we found this place in Kaupakatu, and we started to look for name of this center, and we had some competition or looking for names, and one we got around 40 suggested names. And Gloria is the first name that they have given. And then we had this election, or we have this kind of ballot voting, which is, so it came out Gloria. And it's good because it's an international name. It's not mine. Because they said that I always have this, they said, do you own this multicultural center, Gloria? I said no, but it's for everybody. Those who comes and have been with us for almost 10 years, it is owned by them. It's not by me. And I will add to some activities that we had. We have also this movie which was arranged by Maun Mukana. Maun Mukana, yeah. It is about the story of refugees from Congo, Twiboki. Now, if you want to see the movie, it is possible by contacting us, and then we could give your information about it, or maybe we could set a date that you can come and visit us, and then we could watch that movie. And we do also some cooperation work with different international country. Like, for example, in Poland, we with the cluster, I don't know the name of that cluster. It's about here in Jyväskylä. Yes, it's not, it cannot be said, but it is Jyväskylä ammattiopisto. Yeah, I think so. And we have been doing cooperation work with Poland for almost 2 or 3 years, and we developed this cultural cafe. And then also with the YAMK, Soul Bus, if you, it's with the international and all international nursing students. And my colleague, I think many times that have been in different European countries to with that project. And we do also with local government, like for example, in areas like Kuokkalan. In Kuokkala, we do some bazaar there every August. And then sometimes in Keltinmäki and Hoot in other areas. And also this Madoli Suksintori, how would you translate that in Market of Possibilities. Every year we are together with them in the center. So if you want to see us or see more of our activities, you could go to our Facebook. It's open, you just like it. And then and then also our website. Yeah, and we do lots of cooperation work with NETI. Yeah, okay. And the university is Crossing Borders. And YAMK, in the beginning of 2006 or 2016 or 17, they gave us this game. How do you say it? They have developed this kind of games for refugees who are coming in. And now, on Thursday, if you are still here, we have this language cafe, and they're going to play these games that has been made by YAMK, this Jyväskylä Applied Sciences. Thank you. You're always welcome there.
Thank you, everyone who has spoken. I think it highlights the fact that there are so many great projects and organizations that need to find a way to network, that need to find a way to be more sustainable and to build cooperation and collaboration. So I think we'd like to turn it over now to someone who has worked in this area for a very long time, and she's successful in building the cooperation and such. So, do you want to here take the mic? Oh, you have the mic. Okay, cool. And oh no.
So I'd just like to say that was really wonderful, and I love the way we were able to hear all about your work. And it's also very similar. There are things that connect to the UK context. So I loved the story of the Multicultural Centre, and we have in Rotherham, where I've been working, and this book comes from projects in Rotherham, we have a United Multicultural Centre run by someone called Mrs. Qureshi, and she would love to hear and connect with you. But these projects have got lots of similarities with projects in the UK, and particularly around the short-term funding, and also about connecting the projects up. And the book that we wrote about our work brought the projects together, and that was one of the things that was really important to us, was to kind of connect the projects in a book. And what I would hope is to see all of these things in a wonderful book. Maybe you've done this. But I really loved that, thank you. And thank you for sharing your ideas. What I'm going to talk to you today about is work that I've been doing, particularly about building collaboration and working with artists. We've worked a lot, and I loved your account of your arts practice as a rap artist and how it changed the identities of the young people. And we've actually done a project in a school called Taking Yourself Seriously, where we did similar work, not rap, but music and poetry. And I think this idea of building identity is really, really important. And in our work with artists, a lot of the work has been about how do you create communities, collaborative communities, across universities, and develop a kind of space that's both university and community, but its own space. So that's what I'm going to be talking about. I won't talk for very long. I've only got 12 slides, and they're all translated, which I'm so grateful. Thank you so much. So I guess we were very lucky. In the UK, we had a funding stream. Now, I know funding is essential, and it's called the Connected Communities Programme. It was run by the Arts and Humanities Research Council, but it had a very important part of the funding, which it said that it was researching community with, by and for communities. So the key word is with. Is this not in Finnish?
No, yeah, the next one is in here.
Okay. So this is actually, these are examples of our booklets from the Connected Communities Programme project, funded project Imagine. But the key thing is that it was with. And so when we sat and wrote funding bids, we actually wrote them, we would have sat down with all of you and wrote our bids together, which made a huge difference to how we did the project. And I think we were really, really lucky, because this funding stream has just come to an end. We have got more funding streams, but it made us do research differently. And I think that's what I really wanted to communicate to you, is the possibility of co-constructing a research project from all these ideas, which I know you're going to be doing with Nettie. I'm going to talk about one project today. Excuse my cough. It was called Taking Yourself Seriously. And we were interested in the potential of the arts, particularly poetry, music, and visual art, to work in contexts that involved social cohesion, that we were thinking about social cohesion. So we worked with a school, which is the booklet, the Taking Yourself Seriously booklet. I don't know who's got that one. We worked with an adventure playground, which is like a big playground for children. And we worked with a Muslim women's group, which I think we've got the group there. Should we go over? Yeah. So we had three sites. And the projects were devised and directed by the communities. And our co-research team, our co-investigators, included Zainab Rasool, who did the Taking Yourself Seriously project. So they came up with the ideas. We also had a critical thinking group, which was composed of the City of Sheffield's social cohesion experts. And they weren't academics, but they told us what to do. So it was as if all of you were in charge of the academics. You told them what to do. We had to do what they said. And so we had a very difficult situation, which was that in the Adventure Playground, we had a number of deaths in the community, which was due to real problems in the community. And the critical thinking group member came to us and said, you're doing your project wrong. You need to create a community hub in the Adventure Playground. We took this debate to Bristol, to a conference, a Connected Communities conference, and had the debate in front of a load of academics who were completely phased because they didn't... I think it was really quite a shock to realise this is real life. This is not research in a sense of sitting in your office. This is how do we save young people's lives in a playground through a community playground. And that debate actually happened, and it was really quite difficult. So I think what I'm trying to say is some of these issues are quite difficult, but they're also solvable with that with this idea of working with. And that was what was important to us. So one of the things we were trying to do was to produce resources for people in the voluntary sector like yourself, in community organisations, to develop your own research. So you become the researchers. We don't do the research. Because one of the things we had an organisation in the UK, which was the Association for Research in the Voluntary Community Centre, where the researchers were situated in the voluntary community centre, and we wanted to give more resources to that sector. So we produced a set of resources, which I can show you the website, for that sector about how to do arts-based research. That was our aim. And we can show you that. We've got a site, but I haven't put it up here.
And just to let you know, we will send you these slides.
Yeah, but I can also give you the website for ARVAC, which is the Association for Research in the Voluntary and Community Sector. And what we were doing was we were developing resources to help you as a sector do the research that you need to do so that you become the researchers. And I think that's one of the things that's really interesting about our projects. In many ways, the universities, we wanted to keep the universities at bay and give the central space to the community organisations, which is a very different model. And it's quite an interesting model to try. So we were using something called co-production as a methodology. Now, there's a book coming out next year, which is called Co-Producing Knowledge, A Community Development Approach, which I'm involved in, which argues that community development, the kind of work you do, is really important for co-production, which is when you create knowledge together. And I come from a background, I used to be an adult literacy, I used to do what you were doing, outreach worker. So I used to work in adult literacy and ESOL in communities. So I wasn't always an academic. I was probably more like all of you when I started my career. And that meant that I understood about being in communities and why communities are very important. I'll go on to the... So one of the things about this way of working is it values knowledge outside the university. It thinks that's really important. And you have to change the relationship of power and control. It also means, so I have to keep flipping back, it also means that you write together. So that book was written together. And these books are examples of writing that was done with communities. So these were examples of writing together. Sorry, can I hand these books out? Yeah. And also you have many methodologies. You can decide your methodology. So some of the communities wanted to do oral history about their own history. Some of them wanted to do poetry. Some of them wanted to do rap. We had a graffiti project up in the Northeast. But people chose what they wanted to do. So we didn't say, oh, we're all going to go and do this methodology. People decided their methodology. And that was, again, very specific to this project. And to the Imagine Project, which is another one. So one of the things that we did is we worked with artists. And artists come with a lot of history as well. And in the UK, They come with a tradition which includes community arts, so working in the community, socially engaged arts, which is, I think, something that is maybe quite specific to the UK, but it's this idea that an artist is having a conversation with a community and developing ideas, and it comes out of a kind of residency model that you sit in a community and help them, but also that's your art practice. There are other traditions like arts for health, participatory art, and artists in schools. And artists basically have a history of doing different things in different places. And in our project, we did draw on those different experiences the artists had of working in different places. And we drew on the ways that they worked in our project, and we worked with artists. And they were very helpful to us. So again, I think there's similar models here. I don't want to go too fast. Nettie, am I going too fast?
How are you
doing? Slow? Do you want me to slow? Is it fine? Yeah. I don't want to go too quickly. So this is the important slide. We did a study of how artists work in communities. And we found that there were three ways they were being used overall. So I'm going to do this finish. One was quite instrumentally. So Nettie might come to you and say, here's a group of kids, can you do a rap poem? And you just do it. The other was conceptually, so you might come to Nettie and say, I've got this idea. This is my idea for developing a rap project. And Nettie and you might develop your idea, so you're the conceptual. But the other idea is this idea of the new object, which is when you together work together and produce something entirely new that neither of you expected. So you might say, okay, we're going to come together, but we don't know what we're going to happen next. We have no idea. They might end up doing something completely different. And that, we think, is that's really interesting. And one of the things when we wrote about this is we found that in some of these projects, if you develop those kind of models, hugely different things could happen. So with your centre, you might end up with a group of women and an artist doing, like we did, a poetry book. Or, as we found, a book about herbal remedies, because they were really, this was a group of women who wanted to work on what their knowledge was, and they knew a lot about herbal remedies. So you don't know what's going to happen out of your community project. And that's really interesting. So those ideas came from someone called Hugh Escott, who developed that. I wanted to credit Hugh at that point. So we've written a book chapter about this in this book. I haven't got it here, but if people are interested, I can pass that on. I'm now going to talk about something called a studio model. Now, when we were working on our artist project on Taking Yourself Seriously, we worked as a group. We worked as a collaborative space, and we tried to decide what we would call that space. And we decided we'd call it a studio. I don't know if there's a similar word in Finnish. Let's find the... Have you got that translated, that bit? Okay. Don't worry. It's like a collaboration. But I'll just read these out, and then we'll move on to the final slide, because I don't want to muddle people up. But the idea of the studio, it's a conceptual space where groups form and grow things. So it's the idea of growing from the ground. It emerges from something we recognize as working already, so maybe like your center. It involves a group of people who operate beyond the structures of the university. So a bit like this group here, this is a group. It transcends individual projects. Now that's really important. It's not going from project to project, it's bigger. It's the project that you're doing beyond the little bits of funding that you get. That's key. It recognizes different types of expertise. All participants can emerge as experts. It recognizes the expertise in the room. It's not fixed, it's adaptable, it changes in response to particular situations. And it's a space of action, process, and practice. So essentially it's engaged, it's doing things. It cannot contain everything. Its contents are assembled for a shared purpose. I think that's really important. We did a project in a park, and we decided the park was where the project was. So this idea of a shared purpose is really interesting. It can produce co-authored work, but can also foster conditions for individual insight and practice. It draws on the methods of art practice, but it's not a place to produce art. It's not a physical space, so it's not this building. It's not a digital environment or a structured set of meetings. It can, however, operate through any of these, but it is a route and approach and not an institution. And this comes from Steve Poole's work. We have written this up, so I can send this to you. But it's this idea that you are the thing itself. There's nothing more than what you are, but this is it, this group of people. So this is my nearly final slide, and I'm going to keep going into the finish because that's really important. The sites and spaces generate the thinking. So your thinking is the thing that creates the research. It's your thinking. The models and genealogies of arts practice are threaded through, but sometimes we don't understand. So I was really interested in your presentation because I don't really understand the history of RAP, but I could see it worked and it was threaded through the projects. So I could see you were threading through the individual art experience through these projects. Artists produce spaces for practicing social cohesion in different ways, often relationally and multimodally. So one of the things you're doing if you're working with artists is you might be working in different ways, maybe through poetry, through visual art, through textiles, craft, different ways. And that's really important. But the expertise outside the university needs to be properly acknowledged on university grants. This is my one input from UK. We pay our community partners on the Imagine project, which is a large project. We paid them the same as our academics, so about £6,000, a lot. We took their knowledge seriously. That's really important. Universities have to change for this project, these projects to work. And I'm so delighted you've all come because it's so great that you're willing to work, but I do think universities need to give you the support to do the projects. Stuff comes from stuff. It is about what emerges. Your project will grow, but you don't know. It's about that emergence model. And I think collaboration is everything. I actually think this group is fantastic. I'm so excited to hear from you. And I think you will grow something. So I feel very excited to be here. And thank you so much for asking me to speak, because I feel very privileged. And I think you have the answer to the projects, not me. So that's the end. Thank you.
We do want to have a bit of a dialogue, but Sadi as well has, because she's very similar to Kate, has done some amazing projects and works in a very similar manner. Does anyone have questions right now, though?
Oh,
that
yeah,
any discussion or question? Does anybody have questions or input or statements or anything? No.
Any questions? James. James, that's good.
It's a very obvious question. Thank you, Natty. Thank you very much. It's such an exciting and innovative and also challenging model, particularly for universities, and it excites us very much because it aligns very, very well with what we're trying to do in some of our work in Leeds. You made the point that partners choose methodologies together. I've just finished a funding bid for a fairly large project where I was encouraged to spell out what the methodologies would be. How do you, in your work and your funding bid processes, align your philosophy of partners working together to discover their methodologies and the requirement of funders to have it spelled out a long way in advance? Do you have any sort of stories that you might tell us about that sort of experience?
There's two answers to that question. One is that with the Imagine project, which was a 5-year ESRC Connected Communities project, we sat and decided the methodologies before we put the bid in. And we decided oral history was really... We actually added a historian to the bid because the partners wanted to look at history. And so they did decide in advance. We had to. The SRC wouldn't let us get away with that. With the emergent methodologies, with taking yourself seriously, we were very clear about the structure. And the HRC, I've written a number of bids for the HRC, and the thing that I realised is if you're very clear about what's happening in which bits of the project, so you can say project develop methodological structures and then have a through line which shows what that might produce. I think it's about really clear management structures. It's a very boring question. The other answer is to ask for money up front, which I have done in the past, for bid development. And spend time on that, which is what I think Nettie's doing here, because it's time, really. I think you can work with partners to have a very clear picture if you have the time to develop it in advance. I also think you can write a bid which specifies why. I've just written a bid with Greater Manchester Combined Authority on co-producing cultural policy, and what we've done is we've put in loads of workshop-type things. So workshop one, facilitated by youth workers and artists to produce workshop two, thinking workshop three. So we've got a layered thing. We have no idea what we're going to do, but we've got the structure for doing the thing. So with your projects, you might want to start with a group of people in a room talking about their expertise, developing ideas, and then you might like to refine it and develop it together. We have drawn on kind of models like communities of practice where everybody has their own thing they bring, or dialogic co-inquiry where you're working on something together. I think that group thing is how I do it. Does that help?
It's enormously helpful.
Oh, no. I'm not sure it is anyway. But anyway, I'm going to hand over to Sari because her thing looks much prettier than mine and much nicer.
I'm usually quite wordy, but today I decided to show only a few words. Literally, a few words and some pictures. My name is Sari, Sari Pöhönen. I work here as a professor of applied linguistics. Quite often I refer to as Professor Sari, but that's not the point. I was a volunteer in Helmi Homework Club in 2004, and it's usually the case that volunteers are picked up. It's like a drafting situation first. And there was a young man who came and asked that, do you know physics? I said, well, no. Do you know mathematics? I said, well, no. What do you know then? And then I said, well, a little bit, I know about languages. He said, do you happen to know anything about Finnish history? I said, yeah, I know about that. So I was chosen. So I think my presentation is about construction of knowledge, really. Who owns the knowledge and who is the expert? And I think it's a really like a follow-up, kind of a coincidental follow-up of what Kate has been talking. So I have some insights, some observations of collaboration. On tosi mahtavaa, että täällä on niin paljon tuttuja ihmisiä. Mä en aio kaikkia kääntää suomeksi. Ajattelin, että puhuttelen yhteisöjä vähän eri kielillä ja tuon erilaisia asioita suomeksi ja englanniksi. My experiences or lived experiences come from three different projects from different parts of Finland, from different working with in different institutions. Jaburi Rodavais is a project conducted in the Swedish dominant area of Finland, in a very rural area, in a village that had about 2,000 people living there and had a reception center for over 25 years. And me and my colleagues, there's Minna, for example, she did her MA thesis in this project. We were working on and looking at everyday life of people who were residing in the reception center, waiting for their decision. There were adults and unaccompanied minors as well. And our question was, does this Jaburi Oravais means that I live in Oravais in Swedish, What does it really mean when somebody says that he or she lives in Oravais? And what does it mean for these people who are in the reception center? What does it mean for people who are living in the local venues or working with refugees seeking asylum? Another project is Crossing Borders, Rajojen Yli. And Antti and Sara and Evis, yes, the back row guys, girls, are taking part in this project. This is an arts-based collaborative project where we are looking at how people narrate or perform their senses of belonging. Where do they belong to? With whom they think they belong? How and why? These are perhaps the questions. And we have been collaborating very closely with Gloria, Multicultural Center Gloria, from the very beginning of the project. And the third project is it's a documentary theater project that was based in the Finnish National Theater in the heart of Helsinki, so very urban area. And the project was called Toinen Koti, Other Home, and it was about refugee artists. And at first we were thinking that it would be about integration, but it ended up being totally different thing. So I think it's one example of what Kate, you meant about a new object kind of a thing. So we both have had ideas, but it turned out to be completely different what were our initial thoughts because of collaboration. So these are the projects, and I'm not going to go into very details about the projects, and you can ask questions either from me, from this Toinen Koti. Evis as well has been very heavily involved in this project, and James Simpson and Jessica Bradley have visited when we have been working with people in this theatre project. And James also has been in Oravais. You probably haven't taken even this photo, I'm not so sure, but this is Village Road in Oravais. So I use some key words in order to kind of make an understanding of what is going on in my head and people's heads. Collaboration is always a journey, and preferably a long journey, not a quick one for a beer or so. It is a long, and sometimes it's a very bumpy road as well. People have different expectations and different ideas, how to collaborate, what to do. And this photo is from Oravais, from the village, which it used to be a very, very lively village and with industry of making fabrics, like type of a Finlayser, but a Swedish type of Finlayser, let's say so. And when we started the journey with people who were working and living in the reception center, we started to have talks, just talks over coffee table. What would be people's needs in terms of doing research together? What would be our ideas as researchers, that what really interests us, and how could we do it together in order to make it that is a collaboration? It's not just somebody coming and observing and saying bye-bye and thanks. And with this journey, another key word is trust, luottamus. You have to count on people in order to make a journey. You don't make a journey just with anyone. And this is why this journey has taken now over 3 years and is still continuing with some of the key participants of the project. How am I doing regarding time? You start yelling, I guess. Okay, and when you are on journey, you obviously need support. You are not doing collaborative work by yourself, and this is why I have this book. It's one of our publications, and it's really perhaps the most important publication ever I have been involved in. One of the workers and counselors in a group home of unaccompanied minors suggested that, why don't you start doing research with our boys? This is a very gendered field anyway. Most of the unaccompanied minors were boys at the time in 2015. And I was very reluctant to do that because I have a history of living in a children's home when I was about the same age as these lads. And I was thinking that, okay, I would hate that an auntie would come and see the pettiness in her eyes, and I would probably not want to talk at all. So, but it was actually what we did was that we definitely would not start interviewing, like, because they have been interviewed, wanted or not, so many times. So we did a photography project. And we were really lucky that this person who is supporting this person used to be a professional photographer and a counselor working in the reception center. And the project was about to ask the boys to take photos about their emotions and their feelings and their ideas. What does it mean for them to live now in Oravais? The special spaces, special moments. And what they did, they did it together, and also with the help of their individual counselors. Every child had an individual counselor. So it was like also creating trust between adult worker and a boy. And that probably was the first time they wanted to trust somebody or create some kind of a firm relationship. And it was not only that that counselors would take photos of the boys, but it was like the other way around. So boys were taking photos of counselors and everything else. And Gustav, of course, he was thinking, okay, will they damage the cameras? So, well, no worry if that happens. And what about the quality of their outputs? Because he was a professional photographer. And I said, we shouldn't be worried about that. And actually, we had long coffee. It's always around coffee, I guess, in Finland. discussions and conversations about what types of photos the boys have been taking and with the boys. And they took at least hundreds of photos, and then they themselves selected certain photos to be, some of them are in the album, but what we also decided together, which was not anybody's idea initially, was that let's organize a photo exhibition in the local venues. The boys have always been very visible because this is a racialized, securitized situation and debates, especially in media. But not really there have been any contacts with the local ones, except some fist fights, of course, among locals. So we had two exhibitions in two local libraries, and he is a journalist in YLE who came and made it news in national news. Yeah, you could think that it's very very intrusive, but it actually made all of us, the boys, the workers and us researchers, to understand that without these photos, we wouldn't be able to understand what they went through. So it was okay for a boy to say that my favorite football team is Real Madrid. I'm sorry, Catalonian person. Because of Ronaldo. He didn't need to say anything about his childhood or his journey to Finland. That was the most important thing. I, as a middle-aged white woman, would never have guessed that this would be a question I should ask. What is your favorite football team? Probably I would be asking something really, really stupid, like, how do you feel in living in Oravais? Or what's your future plans? Or something like that. That's usually what happens when adults are intervening. So this was about collegial support and drawing on everybody's experiences and let it go. So Gustav probably was a bit worried whether this would qualify as research. I said, don't worry. I take care of that. So 5 minutes. In Crossing Borders project, we had what was really important, it was co-production. So what we did together with the Arts Museum as an institution and a multicultural center, Gloria, we enabled to have facilities and venues and sites for people to come together and make short films about belonging and also creative writing. And also there was visual arts elements in our project with professional visual artists. And this was done together in pairs or in groups, that there was always an artist and a researcher thinking together how to organize workshops. So it's not only that, please film journalists come and do this for us. So it was not kind of they were mandated to work with us. It was a work from the very beginning. And since I have very little time, I'm just saying that we have a website, we have outputs of the tales, of the videos or short films about belonging, but also multimedia poems. And Antti, muistatko sä, mikä se oli se? Yeah, so if you could write it on this. Voit sä kirjoittaa sen osoitteen sitten tonne? So that would be something. One example is by Roxana, There Is This Constant Feeling. It was first as a poem, but then it turned out to be a multimodal art piece co-produced together with other co-participants and professional artists. Very touching if you want to see this. It's in our gallery. Tuossa nyt ainakin toi. So the project website is this, and it works best using Google Chrome. Well, I think one really important thing is about respect and dignity. Jos me halutaan tehdä yhteistyötä kenenkä kanssa tahansa, niin meidän täytyy istua samalla lattialla. Siellä ei saa olla, että joku on ylempänä ja joku on alempana, vaan kaikki ihmiset on samalla lattialla. Jokaisella on tärkeitä elämän kokemuksia ja se täytyy ottaa ihan tosissaan. Muuten ei ole sitä luottamusta, muuten ei ole sitä yhteistä matkaa, ei ole mitään. Ja sen takia otin tämän kuvan mukaan, koska tässä on erilaisia taiteilijoita. So I wanted to say that without respect, without dignity, you don't have anything really. You don't have the long journey or short journey. You don't have trust. You have to realize that everybody has their own lived experiences, and that is really important. This is from the documentary theatre project, Toinen Koti. And if I only have 2 minutes, I could show one video about change. I feel that there's always this aspect of change. We want to create better futures, I feel. Why not? Why doing things if you don't want to change something? And it's also crossing certain professional boundaries, I guess. And from researchers' point of view, I see that all research is political. But I don't mean that it's about party politics. That's not the case. But it's about, in our work, is about social justice. And then in particular in this documentary theater project, we were very vocal about refugees' situation. So I would like to give voice of my co-investigator and partner in crime, do I say like that? Jussi Lehtonen, who was a director of this particular performance and co-researcher. So I hope I'm... Mistä mä saan lisää ääntä tähän?
Suomi ei tunnusta mitään paikkakohteeksi joutuneiden kansainvälisen suojelun. Ja että Suomen maahanmuuttajilla ei ole sitä ammattitaitoa, mikä heillä pitäisi olla, jotta he voisivat arvioida, että onko joku taide siellä lähtömässä poliittista vai ei, eli sellaista, joka valtaa pitävät tahot voisi kokea uhkaavana. Ja kun tätä asiaa on sitten, niin kriha on tässä useamman otteeseen haastettu. Ja siellä on siellä johtajalle esitetty tämä kysymys, niin sieltä tulee tämä ylimielinen vastaus, että meidän ei tarvitse olla taiteilijoita. Meillä ei tarvitse olla sitä taiteeseen liittyvää asiantuntemusta, jotta me näitä taitoksia voidaan tehdä. Tämä on nyt sitten sen Suomen sananvapauteen sijoitumisen näkökulmasta äärimmäisen ongelmallista. Kyllä, että jos tehdään päätöksiä, kun tehdään päätöksiä, jotka on elämän ja kuoleman päätöksiä, sen pitää perustua parhaaseen mahdolliseen tietoon. Ja jos sitä maantietoa ei ole, niin sitä pitää sitten hankkia.